And perhaps we can look to the Lord, our Father and God, as we have just sung, looking to you. So you got to help us as we try to put the pieces again just a little clearer to our understanding of where we are, who we are, and where we're going. And God, we're going to thank you very much. Spirit of God, thanks. In Christ's name, amen. So, you may want to turn in your Bible to the book, if you would, of Deuteronomy and chapter 4. Deuteronomy and chapter 4. And in our Wednesday, this morning, etc., we have spent these three sessions. This is the fourth one on our Constitution and bylaws, based on our Declaration. And therefore, in the light of that, trying to keep that in understanding, Israel, long before us, remember now, the United States of America, under the Declaration, as we did, Declaration, all of that is right in here. Declaration plus the Constitution. So, and having said that, and keeping that in mind, now, so that Declaration makes us a unique critter. There's no other nation in all of history like us. We're the first one that ever founded a nation based on the Declaration of Independence. No other nation in all of history. We are unique, rather unique to say the least. So what we've done, Israel isn't even like us. We're different, as you'll see, reminded. So, here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, keeping in mind Israel's wonderful, wonderful purpose was to be a testimony to God, by God to all the nations of the world. And you would recall chapter 4, going in the light of all the context, going, if I can, to verse 6. Keep therefore and do them. Well, I got to read verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And I put these on because you're waiting. Understanding people, verse 7. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto it them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation, verse 8, is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Israel was to be a unique nation, God's nation, to show all the nations. God was the government, and God was to be worshiped and understood. God was the center of it all, and that's what they were to, that's what all the world was to look at. Remember, we did choice. Angels have choice. Humans have choice. We did all that. Now, so in the process, here they are, a wonderful, wonderful commission, a wonderful, wonderful purpose to do and to be what they are. Now, having said that, go over to 1 Samuel chapter 8 again. And in 1 Samuel and chapter 8, Israel, here's Samuel, the last judge and in their request to Samuel. In chapter 8, verse 3, his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. So your sons, Samuel, are not fit. Verse 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel in Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like the nations. That's going to be. Wrong choice. Wrong choice. Instead of looking to God, they looked and said, here's all these nations around us. We want to be like them and do like them. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, and in the process, God said to Samuel, you protest strongly not to do that. So when we come to verse 8, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. The minute you want a human to take the place of God, you need to know what you're going to face. You need to know what you're going to be facing. So, verse 17, and he will take the tenth of your sheep, and he shall be, and you shall be his servants. You end up serving the system. Not serving God, you're serving the system, the world system. And the head of the world system, as we shared, is the devil himself, the god of this world. It's his system. We're in it. We live in it on planet Earth. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, in verse 22, and the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go to every man unto his city. So now God said, all right, you want to be like the world, that's what you're going to be like. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, Jeremiah, as the page goes on in history, Jeremiah, and in chapter 6. And Jeremiah, chapter 6, you would remember, and keep in mind, chapter 6, and God trying to help Israel, and they need to get back to where they need to be. They need to get back to God. So therefore, when we read chapter 6, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Remember, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Happiness means the enjoyment of good, the enjoyment of God. So what do we read in verse 16? And walk there, verse 16 again. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. And then you have the horrible statement. They said, we will not walk therein. We aren't going to do that, God. Verse 17. So also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken, we will not hear. Verse 18, therefore hear, ye nations, that you're supposed to be a testimony to Israel, and God says, everyone around you, the Phoenicians and each one of them, therefore hear, verse 18, ye nations, and know, O congregation that is among them. Hear, O earth, even. Not just the nations, the earth, everybody. Hear, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. So, here's Israel. You want to be like the nations. They made a terrible decision, and it's never been fixed. And all of these years have gone by, and there's Israel over there. Never has fixed it. They wanted to be like the nations. They want to fit into the UN. Remember, we did all these things. And the UN wouldn't accept them. And God says, no one should accept you. You're mine. All of that. Now, keeping that in mind, if you can, now put that together in the light of what we're looking at. Over to Leviticus, and Leviticus and chapter 25. Leviticus and 25. If I can. And where are you? And Leviticus in chapter 25, picking up if I may. And you'll notice here's all the feast, Leviticus 23, etc. And in the process of all the feast that Israel was to celebrate, to be conscious of their history and how to enjoy God, God's wonderful word, person. Now, so here's Leviticus chapter 25, and going to verse 8, if I may. And thou shalt number the seven Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years, the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee, 49 years. 49 years are going to go by. Verse 9. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound, a crying out, Jubilee, to cry aloud, to rejoice loudly. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement, and ye shall make the trumpet sound throughout all the land. What are we talking about? Verse 10, and ye shall hallow, remember, think of our Liberty Bell. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be a jubilee unto you, a great exciting joy. And you shall return every man unto his possession. And you shall return every man to his family. Everything that you've messed up in trying to be like the nations, people in debt, people in all kinds of problems, everything has to go back the way it's supposed to be every 50 years. What do you want? God said, listen, you'll mess up your lives, but every 50 years, I want you to go and put everything in order so you understand. That's what I want you to do. I want you to have liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I want you to have something. But Israel, every 50, and by the way, the year of Jubilee, you don't work, you don't grow anything, you don't have to do anything. A whole year of vacation. A whole year. What about, God said, I'll take care of everything. I'll take care of it all. The year of Jubilee. Now try to think. When did they celebrate the 50th year? Do you remember what year it is in history that Israel shut down and enjoyed God? Let's search out. They didn't. They wanted to be like the nations, and they are. And they're paying a price for it. Our republic, our declaration, with the great awakening and all of these things, our founding fathers didn't want to be like the nations. The very opposite. They don't want to be like them. No, no, on the contrary, on the contrary. We want you, God. And like Benjamin Franklin said in that great assembly, we need to pray. And then he said, quote, God governs in the affairs of men. And the whole thing went put together. God, everyone stopped the argument and debate. God governs in the affairs of men. Quiet. And that's how you got the Declaration. That's how you got it. Yeah. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, and what is it doing? Well, it's giving us what? It's called the Declaration of Independence. What's it telling us? That we as a nation, founding fathers, in the 13 colonies, what do they want? They want to be dependent as much as they understood it. They want to be dependent upon God to be their government, to govern their government, and to be able to worship him and know him, to have the liberty to seek him out and know him if we choose. That's what they wanted. That's what they wanted in a most wonderful way. What do you mean? They said the Declaration of Independence to be wonderfully dependent upon God. Wonderfully dependent upon God. That's what Israel was supposed to do. But they wanted to be like the other nations. Never happened. Hasn't happened. It will happen, but not yet. Not yet. So here we are looking, and in the light of that, so therefore as we go forward with God, they want to be wonderfully, wonderfully looking to God in a wonderful way, looking to God to do what he does as only he can do it. So they, and we shared this morning in doing all these things, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they already had life. They needed to have the life, as we did all of this, the life that God offers by way of Jesus Christ going to the cross, to be able to have a relationship to God, life. They already had existence. They needed life. And in having life, you needed to have liberty and the freedom to live the life. It's one thing to have something. It's another thing to have the freedom to live and exercise it and enjoy it. And thus enjoy it. Thus the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. Looking, and we shared that with Daniel Webster and all the meaning of the word, to enjoy good, to enjoy God, who is good, and God's wonderful, wonderful goodness in a wonderful, wonderful way, to enjoy God's wonderful goodness. And we did all of those things. Now, and having said that and adding to that, if I can, keep in mind, if you would, go over with me, please. You're in the Old Testament, over to Proverbs. And in Proverbs, if I can, picking up in chapter 3. Proverbs and chapter 3. And you will note happiness. If the pursuit of it, you have to want to want it. If you don't want it, you don't have to pursue it. But if you want the freedom, and you want the result of freedom, then you need liberty, you need to pursue it. The outworking of the liberty, which is happiness, which is the good, the prosperity, God's wonderful, wonderful goodness, to enjoy God's good. And we did all of that a little bit. Now, so therefore, here's an Old Testament illustration. Chapter 3. And may I pick up, please, in thought. Picking up, if I may, I'll read verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace, they shall add unto thee, God's word. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. What's the good understanding? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't be looking to yourself, because God's ways and thoughts of us are higher than the heavens, and we need to go and look for God's will to be outworked in God's way. So don't be trying to understand it all, because you can't. You can't. You can't understand how God controls and understands all the stars, and he names them galaxies by the trillions. God controls them all. How do you understand that? We've got that John Webb space thing out there, 1 million miles out there, out in space, taking pictures, and trying to figure out everything. Yeah, that's what we're doing. You aren't going to figure it out. God, we're going to understand your magnificence. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're going to understand how we can, we're going to understand God's wonderful person in a wonderful way. But to grab hold of God in his magnificent awesomeness, we can't do that. We can't understand how God can understand everything that every one of you are thinking. And 8 billion plus people across the earth, everything they're thinking right now. How do you understand that? How are you going to understand that? It's beyond us. That's correct. You can't. God said, I want you to know. I want you to be able to enjoy. Hang on, we're coming to that. To enjoy his wonderful. So we're to enjoy happiness. Proverbs. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, verse 6, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear God and depart from evil. What is that going to do to enjoy happiness? Good. God's enjoy God's good. Verse 8. And it shall be health to thy navel. That's the source of life. And marrow, the blood, your blood, white blood, red blood cells, and shall be marrow to thy bones. Yeah. You want to honor me, said God. And I am going to look at your body. Here's your body, wonderfully alive by the system, which you don't even govern. You don't govern it. Your system just exists, and you don't have any control of it whatsoever. No, all that's going on in your mind, trillions of things, trillions, all happening. Cells dying and cells being replaced. Everything's working. And you have no idea about it. All you can do is enjoy sitting in your, living in your body and being able to think and understand. But you don't know it. No. No. And if we go to medical school and we spend it, and even after we've done that, and then we try to understand what we think we understand, and then we keep learning, and we think we understand what we thought we understand, and we need to rethink what we understood all over again and do it again. So we're going to do it. Yep. Because God, we're just us, and we're tackling the marvelous thing of being alive. So God, we're to enjoy happiness. And you're going to say it, if you put, we put you first, don't lean on our own understanding, and it will be health, health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And so, God, you're going to go and do. That's a simple thing, happiness, the pursuit of happiness in God's way, in God's time, in God's. So what are we going to do? God, to know we're saved. To know we're saved in a wonderful way. So therefore, over if I can, to 1 John. And in 1 John, chapter 5, as you would guess. Chapter 5, and God's going to help us understand what are we supposed to be knowing and showing in God's wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, looking to God and His Word. So, and 1 John chapter 5, picking up, if I may, in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, God's word, that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given of his, to us, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. God said, I can't say it simpler to you. I'm trying to tell you. My Son died. Christ died on the cross for your sin. I want you to know when you receive him as your Savior, God so loved the world that he gave a, whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life, etc. Now, so therefore, when you receive the Son, you receive eternal life. That's what you're going to do. It's a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. I want you to understand that. You aren't hunting for it. You received it when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why? Purpose that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you understand your unique relationship to God, and you exercise it. So what? You've received the Son, and God, therefore, pursue the life in Christ that God has given you. Pursue your relationship to God. Practically, pursue your relationship to God, which is life. Pursue it. You know him. Enjoy him. Exercise God's wonderful. We're in his presence. Exercise it in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So here we are looking to God to do and to be what we are. And so God is going to be honored in a most wonderful way. And we shared together the great experiment. And the experiment was that God gives choice, as we shared all these things, that God gave choice to angels, and God gave choice to humans. And we said, did all these things. So that, knowing what? Choice. What's the great experiment? Christ had to die for the sin of the world before anything was ever created, including angels and humans. God had to die. He knew the experiment would prove what? You have the right, and you can't, as we shared, you can't be robots. You have to have the right to choose. So I either choose God or I don't choose God. Either I choose his word or I don't choose his word. I either want God to be God. He's the creator. But as we shared all these things, we don't believe God's the creator. So like in Genesis 11, we built the tower and the city and everything. That's what we did. Now, so in the process, God, what are you doing? You're doing a wonderful thing. You're proving what? That we have the power, we have the right to choose. We can choose you, God, or we don't have to choose you. If we don't choose you, then we discover, God, that without you, we're dead in trespasses and sin. And if we do choose you, then we find you're the source of life. But if we don't trust you and enjoy you, we don't enjoy that life. We don't enjoy that liberty. We don't enjoy that happiness. We don't have it. We left you out. That's why Christ had to die on the cross, to make possible some way that we could have It cost God his son to make sure that your choices may be all over the place. That's why God said, as we did, God said, believe. Believe who I am and receive me as your Savior. So when you believe and rest on the living God, you give God the opportunity to be the Creator. And your choice is the right one because you're looking to God. And God has to be. He's the Creator. He's the Savior. That's the only way you can glorify God, is to honor him as God. And you can't do it without him. So you've got to have a relationship to God. So in the pursuit, and God said, the world's system doesn't want to include God. It excludes God. The world system does. So therefore the world system doesn't know the blessing of God. It doesn't have any place for God. What do you mean? They crucified him. The world, Jew and Gentile, crucified him. The world system has no place for God. All the nations are not going to look to God. Our country, our declaration, was founded on the understanding that these 13 colonies are going to look to God, to be their God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. That's what they're going to look to. There's no nation like it. There's no like this declaration. And remember, the Constitution is done to support the declaration. It does it. So we have I am, I ought, we did all this. I am, I ought, I will. And the Constitution comes along to help us practice the wonderful declaration. So therefore, we have moral, we're to be morally right. I am, I. We know what right is as we shared all these things, and we know what right is, just without even being saved. We just know what it is. We know something's right, and we know something's wrong. And that's because, so the Constitution says we are responsible for to understand that, to practice rightness. That's reason. And reason, that's understandable. And the Constitution allows what? Looks to the revelation. The revelation is what God requires. And God requires morality. God requires his righteousness in the light of reason, in the light of your being a human, in the light of you having the right to choose, in the right of you being able to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have the right reason. That's the Constitution. Constitution says that. And the revelation of God tells you how to do it. So it balances. Say, church and state, it balances. That's the wonder of this, of the Constitution. It balances everything. Now, keeping that in mind, so God's going to go and do this wonderful thing in a most wonderful, wonderful way in what he does. And God said, therefore, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to try to do the right thing in the right way. Now, how's the world? How does the country? Where are we going? Israel, remember, they wanted to be like the nations. And our system, our world system, doesn't want Constitution and Declaration. Because you have to have God, as was said by all the Adams, John Adams, and each one of them. This Constitution and Declaration requires God. It's for a moral believing people. And if you aren't looking to God, then this is useless. And they aren't looking to God. They said, I'll uphold the Constitution and Declaration. They have no intent in upholding it, most of them. They have no intent of even understanding. We'd go to war and not pay a price to be able to keep this. That's why they went to war. That's why the cemetery is full of veterans, et cetera. For what? To be able to what? To go so you can have pizza? No. So you have the right to have this. So therefore, keeping that in mind, if I can, and looking to God in God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. Over, if you would, please, to Psalm 42. And in Psalm 42, picking up, if I can. And you remember, because I started to say, and didn't mean to get sidetracked, God, what are you doing? We're looking. Now you're going to, what we're trying to understand about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, an understanding of a relationship to God that is blessed. Now, but when Israel tried to do it, what did the world say? What did the people say? Chapter 40, Psalm 42, and remember we did chapter 42, Psalm 42, verse 3. My tears have been my meat, my food, day and night. What was the problem, dear believing heart? While they continually say unto me, where is thy God? So here we are trying to tell people, we need to know the declaration is to have a unique relationship to God. So the world looks at us, our own country is doing it, and communism and all the rest of it's going on in the process, looking, where's your God? Where's your God? And you can't find him. Hopefully, in this particular season and what's happening in the light of our celebration, that there might be an awakening to understand we have a wonderful Savior. We need to get back to God. That's what we need to do. So, therefore, where is your God? Sliding down verse 5, why art thou? So what are we going to do? We say, well, we can't fix anything. The Declaration and Constitution is on its way, is out. I wish it could be hanging there. I'm not sure it's going to hang in there the way it ought to be. So therefore, why art thou cast down? Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted? Why in me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help, for the health of his countenance, of his face. And then sliding over, as you know, verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, disturbed, divided up in your mind within me? What are you all upset about? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him, who is the health, the healing, the same as down in verse 5, of my countenance, of my face. Remember we done that. Verse 5, his face, countenance. Verse 11, my face. I look at his face, and he's smiling, and I start smiling. And God said, it's all right, I got it. Happiness, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, God, so therefore, God, what are you doing in this great experiment? You're proving us humans. We can't do it without you, God. There is no way to do it without you in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, in the last paragraph in your declaration, the last paragraph, note the paragraph in the beginning. We did it this morning in that in chapter Deuteronomy. In the declaration, the first paragraph, the second paragraph, you need to, don't just say, not read it, understand it. Nature and nature's God. That's what we're trying to do. Otherwise, you read it and it don't mean anything to you. It needs to be understood. That's why we did all that. So you try to understand. It's meant to be understood and practiced. So therefore, God, what are we going to do? We're going to go and look to you to outwork your good will in your good way. And therefore, the last paragraph, because the declaration, it's all about God. all about God. All about God. That's why this is there. Because of God and the Bible. That's why you got it. Like no other. So therefore, in the paragraph, we therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world. This declaration, he said, well, God, we're looking to you. Who are you? You're the Supreme Judge of the world. Now, who do you think that's talking about? And that last paragraph, we go even further and we read as we come to the end. And in the process, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the pledge and on the firm reliance of the pledge to each other. We pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That's what we do. And you know, as we shared, but their life was on the line because that's rebellion against the King of England. And that's treason. And there, if you lose the war, you guys are dead. We're going to find this declaration and find it all. And like John Hancock, he said, I signed it in big print so King George would have no problem knowing who it is. Yeah. So God, what have we got? God, we've got your wonderful word. And in closing, a little time. Remember, we tried to say a little bit to help you understand what a privilege it is to be a citizen of these United States, to have the Declaration as our guide, even though no one exercises it hardly. So we have a hymn we sing, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. My country, my God, my Savior, my Shepherd, my God, my personal. He's mine. He's yours. My God. Yeah. My God. My Lord, said Thomas. My Lord and my God. And David said, you're everything, God. And then Psalm 18, etc. And he listed, my. You're my strength. You're my everything, God. Yeah. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. God, now, what are you going to say to us, Lord? The Lord's table. Do this. Remembering me, my Lord and my God and my Savior. Do this and remember me in a world that doesn't want to know me, but you do. You, in your little old heart, enjoy that Christ, my heart, Christ home, that God might find his place rightfully. And to show the world that doesn't want him to be where he is in their heart, but he's going to be in our little hearts. And God, when you take of the Lord's table, remember I died, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. I understood the whole mess that you live in, and I've made provision to save you in and out of it in a most wonderful way. So God, as often as you do this, remember me. Don't forget me. Now, you got the idea? And our God and Father, we thank you that we could even stumble along Oh, help us have a little bit of understanding that all of that you've done for us and all of the magnificence of it is ours. It isn't going to be ours. It is ours. How can it be ours, God? In Christ our Lord, remembering him who is our life. And you have given us your word and put it in writing so that we don't have to wonder about it. We can just read and have affirmation and confirmation all the time. So God, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.